Amen. Is anyone thankful this morning? Have you had any reason to be thankful this week? Has God done anything? It's a month of Thanksgiving. And my prayer for you this morning is that you will always have a cause to give thanks every single day. Amen. But you see, the reality of life is that sometimes you wonder, do you really have anything to thank God for? And, you know, it's a valid question to ask yourself sometimes, depending on what you are going through. And so this morning, I'm going to be talking very briefly for the short time that we have about the place of perspective in Thanksgiving. The place of perspective in Thanksgiving. Let's open our Bible very quickly to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'll read verses 17 to 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians is in the New Testament. Because sometimes you look at your Bible and it may look like 2 Chronicles. So, let's just put it in perspective. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'll be reading verses 17 to 18. The media are not on, they are not on the ball this morning. Okay, it's on now. Okay. I'll read verses 17 and 18. It says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Verse 18 says, "Why we do not look on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Amen? Let's quickly look again to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 16 and 18. First Thessalonians 5:16-18. This was Paul writing to the Thessalonians. In verse 16, he says, "Rejoice always. Rejoice always." Is it possible to always rejoice? What happens in those times when you face challenges of life? What happens in those times when things are not going according to plan? How do you react in those situations when your expectations are not being met? How do you respond to life when the devil starts to throw stones at you? How do you react when things have gone pear-shaped and it looks like everything is collapsing around you? You see, one of the things I have been doing lately is basically just looking at the life of Paul in particular. You see, Paul, or Saul as he was known before he was converted, was a man that went through a lot. And I always wonder how he managed to achieve and do everything that he did in spite of all that he went through. When you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you will see exactly how much suffering that Paul went through. But somehow, he was able to maintain his perspective throughout the time. Somehow, he was able to lift himself when times are down. Somehow, he was still able to encourage the church, even when things are not going well with him. And I began to look at him. What was it about this guy? What was it about Paul that kept him going, even when everything looks like his world was collapsing around him? And I could only nail it down to one thing, and that is perspective. Because Paul was encouraging the Thessalonians here. He said, "Rejoice always." In 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18 that we just read, he says, "Our light affliction," and trust me, the afflictions of Paul were not light. They were real afflictions. They were tough times. There was nothing light about being lashed 39 times with chains. There was nothing light about being locked down in a cell. There was nothing light about being shipwrecking. There was nothing light about it. There were threats to his life. So they were not light. But this guy said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You know, he said something when he was going to Rome with the prisoners, when he was being taken to Rome, and their ship was going to, you know, was going through some turbulent time. He said to the people around him, he said, yes, we may lose this ship, but there will be no loss of life. How was he able to maintain those perspectives? How was he able to remain thankful in spite of everything that he was going through? How was he able to commit to the work, to remain committed to the work despite all the challenges? Paul had the right perspective. You see, it's a month of Thanksgiving, and many of us may have taken stock. At the end of this year, you had plans, you had aspirations, you had desires, you had dreams, you had expectations, and you have evaluated it. This is December, actually about the middle of December, and you are not half there, and you wonder, what is it that I have to thank God for? But one thing, the Bible says that a living dog is better than a dead lion. The lion was strong in its lifetime, but when it is dead, there is no hope. So you have a reason to thank God for. Why? Because you can. There are many who cannot. Why? Because the hope is gone. They are not alive anymore. So we have one reason to thank God for, and that is being alive. What is perspective? I will just try and be logical this morning because it's a short time we have and I want you to really grasp this. You see, perspective basically is just the way things appear to you. That's what it is. The fact that things appear to you that way does not necessarily make it so. And I'll tell you a story. You see, two farmers were neighbors. They were both farmers. They had their farms next to each other. And they had planned the night before that, the next day they were going to the farm to till the ground. And then they woke up already, and they were about to step out to go to the farm, and then it started raining. And then one farmer started complaining, oh, today I had this plan. I wanted to do this. I was hoping I would be able to till the ground to this, you know, extent and achieve this and accomplish it. And, you know, he went on and on and on and on, and then he knocked on the door of the neighbor. And he met the neighbor rejoicing. And he was wondering, what are you rejoicing about? We're supposed to go out, but look, the rain. And then the second farmer said to him, he said, but it's been dry all this while. I put seed on the ground. I am expecting water. And so now it is raining. And so the seed can have water and it can begin to germinate. Two, the same situation, the same circumstance, but different perspective. And trust me, that is true of everything in life. You and I, we go through the same experience and we see things differently. It is what makes some people to see obstacles as challenges, why others, we see them as showstoppers. So why one will see it as a challenge to overcome, the other will see it as a showstopper, and then they will give up. That is what makes the difference between a man who is able to persist and a man that easily gives up. It's all about perspective. Now, how does this affect Thanksgiving? You see, the reality of life is, it is very easy to thank God when things are going well. Oh, goodness me. Praise God. You know, it's so, you say it in a very resounding way when times are good. It's very easy. You don't need to remind a man who everything is going well for to praise God. Praise is comely. But how do you respond when times are tough? How do you react when things are not going according to plan? How do you respond when your expectations are not being met? Are you disappointed in God? Do you struggle and find it difficult to be thankful? Or are you able to maintain that thankful perspective and say, yes, my light affliction is but for a moment, it will come to pass, and I'm going to come through. Do you see or do you realize that there may still be light at the end of the tunnel? It's all about how you perceive things, and this will determine whether you can remain thankful in the face of challenges or whether you will just start complaining. How do we acquire perspectives? I don't believe perspective is inborn. I don't think it's genetic. Most of our perspectives, they come from experience. Experience of your environment. For some of us, you know, it's all about how you grew up, what you saw your parents do, what your parents said to you. I remember there was one particular friend of mine, my childhood friend. You know, her or his parents was always warning them against going to neighbor's house to eat and, you know, just basically cautioning them that, look, you don't go to your neighbor's house to eat. You don't do this. And with time, what I found is that this guy was always having a very negative and he was always cautious around people. What happened? Experience. How he was raised. The things that his parents said to him. And all his life and up to today, he's still somebody that is very suspicious of people. So when somebody comes to you and he says, you look good, and you say, oh, I don't know what it's on about today. And it happens. It happens. It's all about your perspective. It's all about how things appear to you based on past experience. Or maybe you are somebody who was abused as a child. And, you know, he's had horrible experience. And suddenly he found himself in a strange environment and people have been nice. And people have been nice to him or her. And suddenly he can't relax. Why? Because of experience of the past. Experience of abuse. Experience is how you acquire your perspective. And so, perspective is not something that you are born with. The way you react or analyze a particular situation is all down to your experience, past experience. Now, how does this manifest? You see, your experience will manifest, I'm putting this in the context of Thanksgiving. You see, some people develop what I call a critical spirit. They develop a critical spirit based on their past experience. Two things that can make you not to be thankful. Number one is pride. And I'm not going to talk much about pride today because we all know about the story of the foolish farmer in Luke chapter 12, the one who said, oh, I have everything. My soul, you are blessed. Let me just lay up the bands and just put everything there and I can eat and I can drink. He did not find a place for God in everything that he had. There was no room to say thank you. And God said to him tonight, your soul is required of you. So pride, and you know God said, he said, when you have become wealthy, he said, remember that it is the Lord your God who has given you the strength to make wealth. Folks, you are who you are by the grace of God. It is by the mercies of God that we are who we are. And we always have to maintain that perspective. Why? Because we are not of the world. We are in Christ. Everything we are and everything we have is in the Lord. We always have to maintain that perspective. And that way, you see, I know a family and they are a very popular family. As a matter of fact, the concept of banking was started by that family. They are a great family. But one thing, I studied something about that particular family some time ago, and I realized that every decade, one member of that family, as rich as they were, commits suicide. The question you want to ask yourself is, what do they want? I mean, we read about Robbins William. He had everything, but he committed suicide. So what happened? What went wrong? So you see, it's not so much as in your material possession, it is more about who you are in the inside. And that is why it is always necessary to be able to maintain that perspective so that you can remain in the place of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is very important to God. And he actually commands us. But you see, it can never be comely to a man who is proud or a man that has a critical spirit. You see, the critical spirit is what leads to complaints. When you complain and complain, this is not working. That is, and you see, you have to remember that it's the same complaint that stopped or prevented many of the children of Israel from moving into the promised land. Because they will complain, they will murmur, because they will forget what the Lord did yesterday and they only focus on the needs of today. Your needs may not be met today, but do you remember the God that met the needs of yesterday? Why would you focus on the one thing that is not working and forget the nine that are efficient? That is the scheme of the devil. The devil would rather you focus on that one thing that is not working and you will forget every other thing. And that is why the psalmist will encourage you that you should not forget his benefits. Our God is good and God is faithful. So perspective is very important in thanksgiving. Being able to put the situation in the correct perspective and know that yes, it's an affliction, yes, it's a challenge, but challenges are meant to overcome. And with God, I can run through a troop, I can leap over a wall, and I can overcome. Why? Because Jesus Christ has overcome the world. And because he has overcome, he has made me an overcomer. It's all about being able to put things in perspective. You are believers. You are not people of the world. The people of the world may complain, but for you, it is thanksgiving. Why? Because the Bible says that all things work together for your good. Why? Because you love God. Or do you? Ask your neighbor, do you love God? Because we have to ask this question sometimes. Amen? We have to ask these questions. Do I really love God? How do you know? How much do you care about him? How much time do you spend with him? How much time do you spend in the place of his word? Or are you just being religious? Because you can be, you can come to church. Coming to church, oh, and I love the Bible studies. I mean, the Bible school, we learn quite a lot. Coming to church and being a member of a church doesn't mean anything. It could just be religion. It doesn't mean nothing. So your regular attendance in church is not an indication of your love for God. It is a question that you need to ask yourself time and again. Do I really love God? If I do, what am I doing to show that? Because love provokes action. And that's why, Samuel said, I have found your word and I have eaten it and it has become to me a delight in my soul. That is love. When you love something, you want to endear yourself to that something. You want to endear yourself to that person. If you love God, you want to endear yourself to him. How do you endear yourself to God? It is in a place of prayer and the study of his word. So let us ask that question. All things work together for the good of them who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. Now, is it possible for perspective to change? Can you change your perspective? Yes, it is possible. And what I want to do this morning is I'm just going to give you three basic things that needs to be done to ensure that you always maintain your perspective. You see, you know yourself. I don't know you as well as you know yourself. But God knows you even more. And, I'm just going to say you arm yourself. That's ARM. You arm yourself. So that's an acronym you should take away today. And A stands for appraise yourself. R stands for renew your mind. And M stands for mind yourself. So you arm yourself. Okay, let's open to Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1. Haggai 1 from verse 5. Okay, from verse 5. Say, now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. The next verse. You have so much, I am bringing little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into bag with holes. The next verse. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You see, sometimes we need to really evaluate ourselves. And this brings us back to the man in the mirror that Pastor, you know, spoke about a couple of weeks ago. Because, you see, for a man to try and change, or for a man to be able to effect a change, you need to know where you are. You see, change is a process. The process of change starts with evaluation of the current state. If you are somebody who is not always thankful, you will know. You will know. If you are somebody who complains a lot, you will know. But the challenge many people have is that the will to change is not there. They just accept themselves the way they are. And they say, yes, this is who am I. And God, this is where we, you know, we try to overspend the grace currency sometimes. Instead of trying to change, we just say, oh, the grace and the mercy of God will cover my errors. Yes, the grace and mercy of God will cover your errors, but you may not be able to live in the fullness of that God, of that which God determines or proposes for you. So you need to appraise yourself. You see, that's why Jesus Christ said, those who are well, they have no need of a physician, but the sick ones, they have need. If you think you are perfect and you're always thankful, then this message is not for you. But by all means, if you have a friend who is always complaining, let them listen to this message. So I know some of us, you know, we have it all together. No challenges. There is nothing that we cannot handle. There is nothing that we cannot deal with. Praise God. Hallelujah. But if you have a friend who you think struggles with being able to remain thankful and maintain the right perspective when they are going through challenges, then encourage them by all means. But the process of changing yourself to be able to stand and have the right perspective starts with being able to appraise yourself. You need to be able to appraise yourself, look in the mirror, and see what needs to be put in order. Look in the mirror and see what needs to be changed. That is looking into the perfect law of liberty. I'm not going to dwell too much on that. I want to dwell a lot on the second point, which is renew your mind. You see, the renew your mind means that you want to change the way you think. In the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 2, the Bible says that, let's look at Romans 12 2 and see what the Bible says to us there. Romans 12, 2. In Romans 12, 2, the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world. Do not do things the ordinary way. Do not do things the mundane way. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, change comes by the renewing of the mind. Change is a process. It's a process where you start by making a decision. You have to make a decision to change. You have to be determined to change, and you have to dedicate yourself to the process of change. That is the only way it's going to happen. Change is not an instant thing, unless maybe it's a miracle. Change is a process. We can get lost in the euphoria of events when things happen. We just say, oh, wow, see that. And we carry that euphoria, and then we walk away from that environment, and we return back to the same person that we were before we came into the place. That is just responding to an event. But the change that will last is a process. And change can be it can be subtle, or it can be substantive. A subtle process is externally driven. You change based on things around you, the things that your five senses can receive into your mind. You know, the things you see on television, the thing you see on your home, the messages you hear in church, these things change you in a subtle way. It takes time, but it can take a long, the impact can last very, very long. A substantive change is a practical change that you take steps to achieve and accomplish in your life. It is internally driven. It is something that you intentionally set out to accomplish. That is what I mean by a subtle and a substantive change. Now, Romans was saying here that for you to change your life, for you to change your perspective and be able to always remain thankful, he says you need to renew your mind if you are that person who has a conflict spirit. And is it possible to change? Yes, it is possible. If you read the story of Gideon in the book of Judges chapter 6, you see, Gideon was not part of the children of Israel who has seen the miracles. All he ever heard was talk about what God did in the Red Sea, you know, how he took the fathers across the wilderness and, you know, won wars for them. And there were stories to him. But the present reality was that the children of Israel were going through a horrid time in the hands of their enemies. That was the present reality. That was the perspective based on experience, not stories, not history, that Gideon had. And so when the angel of God came to Gideon and said to him, "Oh, mighty man of valor," the man looked behind him. "Who are you talking about? Me? If I'm a mighty man of valor, why are we going through all this? Why are we being oppressed? Why is my business failing? Why are all my initiatives not coming to fruition? Why am I not in a job? Why can't I pay my rent? Why are my children going through this way?" You know, you just ask question and question and question why based on your experience. But when God began to reveal himself to Gideon, his perspective began to change. And suddenly, he began to see himself the way God saw him. And suddenly, Gideon, that was negative at the beginning, was ready to lead the army of Israel to defeat the enemy. He was ready to lead the army of Israel to attack the enemy's camp. Why? Because his perspective has changed. So perspective can change, but it's a process. The process of change takes time, and it is practical, and it is intentional. You have to be determined. You have to make a decision to change following appraisal of yourself, and you have to be committed to the process of change. So it is you decide, you determine, and then you dedicate yourself to the process of change. Change. You know, Pastor Bola said something 2 weeks ago when he was talking, because you see, a lot of times it's very easy for us to blame others for our problems and who we are. She said when she was growing up, she was always saying the mom was always angry, you know. And trust me, it will be perfectly understandable in a mundane way if she comes across as somebody who is always angry herself. You will say, "Oh, she picked it up from her mom." And you can explain it away that way. But the woman made a decision, as young as she was at the time, that when I grow up, I don't want to be like this. That was a decision. That wasn't a light decision either. Because I've seen people, "Well, that's the way my mom is. I picked it up from my mom." You can continue to blame your dad and your mom for your errors. But the Bible says that when a man comes into Christ, the new creature, all things are passed away. All things have become new. You are a new person. And you need to see yourself in that light. You can't continue to say, "Because my father was like this, I will be like this." You are your own person. You are your own individual. You're going to stand alone before God and give account of your life. It has nothing to do with your past. I had my past. I had my life. I can never walk in the way of my father, because the way of my father were not the ways of the Lord. But I have chosen to follow the Lord, and I have to be my own man, maintain my perspective. So change is possible. It's a process. But there has to be a decision. There has to be the determination, and you have to dedicate yourself to the process of change. The last thing I'm going to talk about is you need to mind yourself. And what do I mean by minding yourself? You have to mind your thoughts. You have to mind your tongue. And also you have to mind your association. Because the Bible says that evil communication corrupts bad manners. You have to guard your five senses. You have to filter the things that goes into your mind. Because you see, Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it proceed the issues of life. Everything you are, your personality, your perspective, is all a function of your mind. Your personality and your perspective is a function of your mind. A man who has a mind full of garbage, we can only respond negatively to life. But a man that has his mind full of the word of God, full of the grace of God, full of the truth of life, will be able to respond positively and maintain that thankful perspective in all situations. So you have to mind yourself. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, as I round up. 2 Corinthians 6, 17. Corinthians 6:17 says, therefore, come out from among them, do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. This was a command. God was saying, come out from the unclean things. Get away from things that defile you. Move away from things that corrupt your thought and your perspective. Mind yourself. Mind your space. Focus on the things that are lovely. Focus on the things that are virtuous. And, you know, just focus on the good things. Maintain a godly perspective. See yourself as God sees you. You are a winner. You are a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror, actually. That is the way God sees you. So your light affliction, the challenges of life that you are going through, they are only temporary. And they will come to pass. It doesn't matter for how long. It always comes to pass because you have life. Because you have God. When you have God, you have everything. Because the Bible says that with God, all things are possible, including overcoming the situation that you are going through. It's all about maintaining the right perspective. You see, it is the will of God for you to be thankful regardless of what life throws at you. It is not so much of what happens to you, but more about how you respond. It is more about how you respond. And how you respond to life is a function of your perspective. Now your perspective is a reflection of your understanding, and your understanding is a function of the state of your mind. Your understanding is a function of the state of your mind. So everything starts from the base of the mind. What is your mind like? Renew your mind. Maintain a godly perspective. And see God lift you up and keep you glowing and flowing in the realm of thanksgiving. Amen? Let's rise up to our feet this morning. And let's just receive grace this morning. The grace to renew our mind continually. The grace to continually renew our mind. Let's receive this morning. Let us receive the grace to maintain godly perspective at all times. Let us receive the grace to understand and to know that the things that we are going through, they are not going to consume us. Why? Because we have a God who is bigger than our challenges. Why? Because we have a God who is going to help us overcome our challenges. Let us just ask and receive the grace this morning. Let's receive the spirit of an overcomer this morning. The spirit to be able to put things in the proper context and perspective and remain thankful. Let us receive that joyful spirit. The Bible says we should rejoice always. The grace to always rejoice in the faithfulness and the loving kindness of God. Let us receive this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We bless you, Lord. Even as we pray this morning in Jesus' mighty name.